Thank you, praise team. It's kind of a mixed emotions moment this morning. Some time ago, a few years ago, I talked about us starting to take cruises, get out on the water and see the beauty of God's creation. And this week, there's a number of families missing, but they're out cruising the Mediterranean together, being family on the water. So if you're missing them, they're not missing you. And some of us have begun to talk about those who would be interested, start putting away a few shekels now, about in 2017, take a week and go to St. Thomas. Amen. Those of you who have never seen St. Thomas don't know what you're missing. The men of valor are putting notes in your hands while I'm rambling on and on. But we just load up and fly straight to St. Thomas and not spend a whole lot of time cooped up on a boat. And the people who want to go, I know Richard and Michelle are getting their first cruise and they're enjoying it. And I was blessed to watch John and Anitra enjoy their first cruise. And there's something about getting out in the Caribbean, beautiful water, and just seeing what God created. He did create more than mesquite trees. He created prettier trees than cedar. And it's nice to get down in St. Thomas. You go to St. Thomas, you can cross over on the ferry to St. John's, and there's Trunk Bay. And Trunk Bay is a place that you can go out 20 foot deep and toss a quarter and watch it go to the bottom of the water. It is not like Galveston. You can see the fish. And it's just something that when the family gets to vacation together and go together, it's great. So be thinking about it. Would you like to put together a few coins and we'll get the price sheets going soon of what it's going to cost to fly to, we'll get group rates, fly to St. Thomas. We'll check into the Holiday Inn there by Bluebeard's Castle and just chill. Can I have an amen on chilling?
Amen.
A week ago, I shared with you a report from Sister Diana who had listened to a message we had taught on laying hold of things that were stolen from you. And she had a retirement that was stolen, what, 20 years ago? And she went back and laid hold of it and got it.
Amen.
And her husband, not to be outdone, has a praise report. He says, first class living at discount prices. My $2,500 hearing aids, which were out of warranty and worn out due to abuse from the outdoor work, filling up with sweat and then putting them overnight in dryer to wick out the moisture, wearing them in the rain and on rooftops and all that stuff. They were on their last leg. Costco sent them to the manufacturer for him, and they replaced the entire units for $274, saving him $2,200. Out of warranty. Brother James has a praise report. I give Daddy God all the praise, honor, and glory for this praise report. This lady came into the post office wobbling, not really walking. It turns out her name was Elizabeth, and the baby that she was pregnant with could come at any minute. She was just that big. I asked her, when was the due date? And she said, any time now. So by listening and the leading of the Holy Spirit, I asked if I could pray for her and the baby. She said, yes, I had no idea she was having problems. I had her place her hands on her belly and I placed my hands on her hands and decreed the word from my spirit concerning her and the baby that all would be fine. There would be no problems and the baby would be healthy and grow strong to serve the Lord. Fast forward to October, she came into the post office with the baby, John, and her husband, Mark, to show me how God had answered our prayer and bless them with this card. She gave him a card. Thank you so much for asking to pray for our child. When you saw me at the post office in late July, we had a rocky pregnancy with risk of preterm birth. But on August the 3rd, God answered our prayers that our child would be born healthy, strong, and full term. You inspire us with how you reach out to others in your daily life and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I like praise reports. If you had your picture taken and are in the House of the Lord family directory, among all these other beautiful people, and did not get a copy of this, this is the last copy. And I don't like seeing it laying up here, so if you did not get one, y'all didn't get one? And your picture in here? Let me see. Oh, well, he got in the vicinity. I want to talk to you today about something that's very important. And I want you to listen between the lines as well as to the lines. There used to be a song that was sang, "Into every life a little rain must fall." What accompanies rain? Moisture, yeah, but clouds.
Cooling.
And when the clouds come in with the rain, what happens? When I was younger, I used to take the American Statesman, and I took it for two reasons, the want ads and the comics. Everything else there wasn't worth reading. But I always wanted to see what was for sale and what people were selling houses and cars and stuff for, so I'd be apprised of what the market was at. And I went to the comics and always enjoyed reading Little Abner. And if you remember Little Abner, there was one guy who always had a storm cloud over his head, and he walked around under that dark cloud, no matter what everybody else was, it was raining in his life. It was dark. It was cloudy. Whether you recognize it or not, when sickness comes, there's a cloud of darkness that comes with it. And many times you can't see the way out, especially when they say, "You're going to die." Or there's no way you can live. Or we've done everything we can, and best of luck to you. Pay your bill in advance because we don't want to collect from your family. When finances begin to dissipate and money gets scarce and the bills begin to pile up, it gets dark. And God gave us an example from the very beginning of His Word what to do in the dark situations of existence. Speak the light into the darkness. I have encouraged you to keep a journal. And I said, write down what you're praying for, what you're believing for, what God has prophesied or spoken to you or your family. Write it down. Date it. Then when the answer comes, write the answer in and date it so that you have a memory book of what God has supplied and what God has done. So when the devil comes by and goes, "Barry, it ain't going to happen this time," you whip out your book and you go, "It happened this time. It happened this time. It happened this time." God is faithful. God never tells a lie. I have His Word on it. And you can learn a lesson from your childhood. Asia, when we were kids and somebody would start saying something we didn't want to hear, what did we do? Nah, 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 nah. Or we'd shut our ears. When we got older, we'd go talk to the hand because the ears don't want to hear you. But what did you learn as a child when people were saying things you didn't want to hear? You could drown it out by something you were saying. Oh, come on, church. You know you jumped ahead of me there. When sickness is telling you, you're sick, you're hurting, you're in pain, you could die with this. Aunt Myrtle Fay had this and she never recovered. Instead of saying, na-na-na-na-na, what do we say? It is written. With his stripes I was healed. Himself bore my infirmities on the tree. You say the answer to drown out the lie that's trying to steal your health. Every born-again child of God, Sister Mary, was healed at their salvation. But the devil likes to trespass. If Damon came home today and Bo Snerdley and a few other homeless people was camped out in his living room, would he go, I guess it's not my house anymore? Would he go, I don't know what to do. There's homeless people camped out in my living room. No, you'd tell them to get the darkness out of there. You would evict them. You would tell them you're trespassing. You wouldn't say, well, I guess it's not my house anymore. They moved in. Then why do we accept it when sickness tries to move in? Wow. When debt tries to move in? When fear tries to move in? Kennard, why don't we give it an eviction notice and say, no, you don't belong here. So from the very beginning, our God, in his great love towards us, wasn't doing things to make stories to fill between the covers. Everything he did was with a purpose. What is the law of first mention? The law of first mention is the thing is established with that, and it is of primary importance because it was
first mentioned.
What's the first thing God mentioned to you? Let there be light. In the Hebrew, he said bet or, which is light be. In the English translation, we've added a few words and let there be light, but he actually just said light be. And I told you after being a born-again child of God over 40 years, one day walking right back there in prayer, the Lord said to me, do you understand what took place there? And being a student of my past failures to understand, I immediately said, I guess not. What are you going to show me? He said, when I said light be, I was speaking into both worlds. And I went, both worlds? Yes, he said, I was speaking into the natural world, light be, and I was prophesying into the spiritual world so the Messiah could come. He is the light of the world because he is the Word incarnate.
Amen.
Now that's a phrase that people go, Raymond, what does the Word incarnate mean? That means the Word is living, breathing, walking, and talking. So when we say Jesus, we don't get as much impact as we get when we say anointed Redeemer or Redeemer anointed of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. The body of Christ was done a great disfavor when somebody made up that name, Jesus, and put it in there because you begin to think that's like Frank or Bob or Sam. His name was not a given name. His name was an identifier. Yeshua, Redeemer, HaMashiach, anointed of God. When you break it down to Jesus Christ, it sounds like Sam Smith. And it doesn't have the same meaning. Now I say Jesus Christ for people because that's what they become used to through religious tradition. But when I'm talking to Daddy God, we're on a Yeshua basis concerning his son. Because I recognize him not as Sam Spade or Billy Bob Smith. I recognize him as my Redeemer, anointed of God to redeem me. And he is the Word incarnate. And that understanding that, let me open that word incarnate for you. God gave us His Word, but He wanted us to be able to see how that Word would affect life. So He put that Word in the form of the individual, anointed Redeemer, so that everything He did was redeeming people from the lies of Satan, the bondage of sickness, the grips of poverty, fear, aloneness, disappointment. Every person who grew up in a family grew up with hurts, pains, and disappointments. And if a certain situation comes, that darkness is quicker for you than it will be for someone else. There are some people who can't identify with Daddy God because their natural daddy beat them or abused them or mistreated them. There are some people who can't identify with peace because they lived in hell their entire life. There are some people who have covered up so much that inside they're completely dark, because if they ever look at what happened to them, what took place, their life disintegrates and they end up in a padded room. And God, understanding the crap that would be in life, sent us light to reach into those dark places and open it up so it doesn't have to be hidden anymore. Well, Pastor, there's things in my life I don't want revealed. And I've been worshiping God since 1969. And there's things that happened in my life nobody will ever know about. I mean, there is a statute of limitations, but I wasn't born pure. I was born in iniquity. I grew up in pain and made sure I shared that pain with as many people as I could. Why? Because darkness loves darkness. Right. And if I'm hurting, you need to hurt too so we can share it. Now that you're a born-again child of God, Ethel, we should share the light that we have that can dispel the darkness in people's lives. And just like we learned how to shut out what other people were saying with a na-na-na-na-na-na, we need to shut out what the devil's saying to us with a it is written. I can't fight a problem while considering the problem. Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. And when I got to that verse, the Lord took me to this. He said, what is the light of life? And I said, well, your word is the light of life. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. It shows me where I am and where I am to go. But then he began to talk to me about that. Do we really recognize that we have the light of life in that new covenant that we sometimes carry around, and sometimes we don't even bother to pick it up and read it for days or weeks at a time? And so the darkness gets bigger in our life, where that just any crisis can drive us over the edge, because we don't have enough light to reveal that it's a lie. I've had born-again children of God, Brother David, come to me and say, but I really am sick. And they were trying to convince me that they really were sick. But what was really taking place? The darkness in them was so great they couldn't see the truth anymore. Because if you're born again, you can't be sick. Because part of your inheritance was, with his stripes you were healed. So healing belongs to you, But if you're in darkness not to see it, then you'll see the darkness that says you're sick more than you will see the truth that says you were healed. And if you were healed, you can occupy what belongs to you. I mean, when I was a kid and some kids down the street stole my bicycle, I went down to their house and I occupied my bicycle because it was mine. The fact that they had put it in their backyard and had gotten a can of spray paint and changed the color didn't change the fact I knew that was my bicycle. And I'm occupying it back because it belongs to me. I didn't say, oh, well, it's gone. Come see, come sigh. If I was supposed to have a bicycle, it wouldn't have got stolen. And yet I hear believers go, well, if I was supposed to be healed, I would be. The fact that I'm sick, I must not supposed to be healed. No, the fact is you're walking in such darkness, you believe the lie and you're damned by it. Because you can't see the light of the truth that I am the healed of the Lord, but I have to occupy that. I'm the blessed of the Lord, but I have to occupy that. Dinah could have let that retirement pay stay stolen because they told her, you lost it, it's gone, you're not getting it. But she heard a message that said, you don't have to take reality for your truth. Your truth is higher than what is physically real because you deal from a spiritual inheritance level. So they went together and went back and laid hold of it. And 20 years after she was denied it, she gets her inheritance. And every month when the check comes in the mail, she can go, na 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 na. Her praise report gets fresh every time she rips open that envelope and goes, yeah, that's mine. You can't have it, devil. You can't steal from me. I can go back and get what's been stolen decades ago. And you can go back from what was stolen from your parents, your grandparents. If something was stolen in your life, lay hold of it. Serve the devil eviction notice to get off of your stuff. And you don't have to be spiritual about it. Yea, verily, evil one, thou shalt reap. Get the hell out of my life. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The word walking. The word talking. Well, Pastor Jim, how should I deal with sickness? How did Jesus deal with sickness when he encountered it? He removed it. How did he deal with bondage when he met it? He removed it. How did he deal with the devil when he met him? He removed it. He, the Word incarnate, is the light of truth thrust into the world of darkness. When we pursue truth, we also become light. There are key verses that you need to unlock your happiness. With his stripes, I was healed is one of those. My God shall supply all of your need. Of course, that's conditional if you're a tither and giver. If you're not a tither and giver, you don't have a prayer. There are verses that say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There are verses that said, I'll give you eternal life. Well, you know, you might have got saved when you was a child, but a whole lot of water's gone under the bridge since then. No, I didn't get a Mexican jumping bean that comes in and out. I got eternal life. It stays. I have to throw it away. He said, nobody snatches anybody out of his hand. I have to pry his fingers off of me by rejecting him, denying him, walking away from him. Well, Pastor, you sound like once saved, always saved, if you want to be. If you want to be, if you lay hold of it and cling to it, You gave me eternal life, Father. I'll not turn loose of it. I may disappoint you. I may fail short of your goal, but I'm not turning loose. And you told me you wouldn't turn loose. So if we're locked, Jesus said to his followers, those who were learning of him, the word disciple is not like vice president, chairman, secretary. The word disciple simply means learner, student. He said to those who were a student of the word, because they were his disciples, they were students of the word. You should be a student of the word. You may not can reach out and touch him. You may not can break bread with him. But you can, by faith. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. What was he saying? I used to read that, a city set on a hill. That's a nice analogy. Did you know it's not an analogy? It's a revelation. The hill we're set on is the throne of God. We're seated at the right hand. I am seated at the right hand of God because Jesus came down and sat at the right hand of man to elevate us to the throne of God. I am a part of a congregation that is set on the hill of God's government, seated at the right hand, and I can't be hidden. I can cover my light, but no one else can. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Well, Pastor Jim, you know I'm a silent Christian. I don't feel that I need to let other people know what I believe and what I feel. No, you weren't made light to hide that light. You were made light so you could share. It is written with everybody you meet, because there's one of those hundreds of promises in the new covenant that somebody you meet today is going to need to hear. Somebody you meet tomorrow is going to need to hear. And you can shine light into their darkness. Not by giving a bumper sticker. Well, Jesus cares. I'll pray for you. No, give them the light. It's fine to tell them I'll pray for you, but give them the light. The word of your new covenant says you can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. How do I get the anointing in my life? The word is already anointed. If I have the word in my life, I'm anointed. People act like Christianity and godliness and truth is some kind of mystery. Pastor Jim, I don't know if I'm anointed or not. Do you have any word in you? That word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's performed by the Holy Spirit. You've got anointing in you if you have a word. Speak that word out and you're releasing the anointing. Well, I thought I had to get me a bottle of oil and, you know, do a... That's the religious part of it. Real understanding says, just speak the word and my servant will live. Just speak the word and my bills will vanish. Just speak the word and I'll occupy a new level of life. But you put that light on a lampstand. Find your own pulpit from which you can shine the light into other people's lives. Because it says you were given the light so that all who are in the house can benefit from the light you have. Sometimes Lou is in her secret place talking to Daddy God and he reminds her of a scripture. And she goes, thank you, Lord, I needed that. But the word is of no private interpretation. If he gave her that word, it's in her to give to someone else. A lot of times, The Lord comes by, Julie, and he reminds you of a scripture. And we stop and we think, well, isn't God good? He's reminding me of that scripture. No, no, no. God is setting you up. Somebody's coming across your path, and they're going to need that word, and God just reminded you that you have it, so when they come across your path, you can go. You remember the early days they used to have the Ford commercials where a guy'd be standing there, and all of a sudden the light bulb would go on above his head? A better idea, F-150. Well, Rosie is walking into a room full of darkness, and a light doesn't go on above her head. It goes on right here. God reminds her of a scripture, and you start going, who do I need to shine on? Since the fall of Adam, the world has been engulfed in darkness. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. He is the light of the world. This was the beginning of spiritual dividing of light and darkness. Just as when God said light be, it divided physical light and darkness. The entrance of our Redeemer divided spiritual light and darkness. But in Genesis, we have the first dividing of light and darkness from an actual physical act and a spiritual prophetic word that was released. Light's coming. He said to Eve, the head crusher's coming. Devil, perpetrate the darkness that you're perpetrating while you can, because the light's coming soon, and when the light comes, you can't put it out. God saw that the light was good, and God separated light from darkness. That is not just a story to go, well, that's how creation happened. That's something for us to lay hold of. The light of the gospel in my life will separate me from the darkness of death, from the darkness of sick, from the darkness of hurt, from the darkness of grief, from the darkness of sorrow, from the darkness of despair, from the darkness of hopelessness. He said if I would take his word and meditate it day and night, what does it mean to meditate it? Your word says with his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Since I am healed, I is the healed of the Lord. If I is the healed of the Lord, then this sickness is a lie. I don't have to accept this lie. That's how you meditate. Well, I find here your word says that you supply all of my need. If you supplied all of my need, then that means I already have the answer. I see in Corinthians you said you've laid in store things that I haven't yet figured out. But I'm going to figure out because of their laid in store, they belong to me. Now I'm going to understand from you how to reach into the storehouse and grab what's mine. Oh, I see it right here. And when you stand praying, believe that you receive, and it will come. So you said, I have my needs supplied. Father, I want to thank you that all my needs are met. I praise you. I can't see it. I can't feel it. I don't know how it's happening. I don't know who you're going to use. But I know all of my needs are met because you can't lie. You said all of my needs would be supplied. So therefore, I'm rejecting lack, and I'm embracing supply, and I receive my needs met now, and I want to thank you that all of my needs are met. That's how you meditate the Word of God. Darkness represents the fallen elements of evil and covering. When it's dark, things are covered up, and you trip over them, you fall over them, you run into them. Light is the revealing of truth that is. Darkness, physical or spiritual, is broken by the presence of light. Physically, light is illumination. Spiritually, light is the revealing of truth. Did you get that? Light always wins over darkness. But light must be introduced by somebody. If it has to be introduced by somebody, why not you? Have you ever seen a flash dark? I know it sounds humorous off the bat a flash dark. You mean I push this button and darkness appears and overcomes the light? It can't happen, can it? There is no time that darkness overpowers light, but light always overpowers.
Yes.
God was teaching us from the very beginning, light is more powerful than darkness. So you will never go to the store and see a sale on flash dark. If there's too much light in your life, just shine this and it'll turn everything dark. It can't happen. Why? Because light is singularly powerful.
Amen.
And when I have that understanding, then I take the light of the world, no, the light of the Word, and I introduce it to the darkness of the world, and it has to flee. It has to submit. It has to bow. Derek, I've never walked into a room, whipped out my flashlight, and had the dark go, oh no, you're not going to do that in here. There's a struggle to get that light into the room. No, as soon as I hit that button, the darkness runs. God is teaching you. Get it out of your head and into your heart. God is saying, Asha, all you got to do is shine the light of it is written into whatever that lie is, and it has to bow.
Amen.
So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Guys, wake up. I've got a short time. I want you to learn the lessons. I want you to understand this truth. I am the Word walking, the Word talking, the Word revealed. I'm with you for a short time. After I'm gone, you're going to have to get it yourself. You can't come over to me and borrow a cup of sugar. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness will not overtake you. He said, it's up to you. Whether you live in darkness or light, it's a decision you make. But Pastor Jim, these are real problems, and you got a real answer. Why are you choosing the darkness over the light? Why would you want to pick the least powerful? He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes, because there's no illumination, there's no understanding. Well, you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Wait a minute, if I receive the light of the Word, I become that light, and I walk as sons of light. Our Lord and Redeemer, the Word incarnate, was the first carrier of light. Tina is in the sons of light. Are you listening? You are in the sons of light, Brother Friday, if you let the Word flow out of you. I want you to understand this. The darkness of this room was not affected by the fact that there was a light switch. The darkness of this room was not affected by the fact there were light bulbs. It was only when somebody released that light that it had an effect. Well, I think just my presence will. Well, next time it's really dark, just hold your flashlight and don't turn it on and see if anything changes. That's your silent witness. Ain't worth nothing. Nada. No winner per taco. You got to turn the light on. How do you turn it on? The same way God did. Light be. These things his disciples did not understand at the first. The first time I present this to you, if it's the first time you've ever heard it, you may not understand it. But if you'll meditate it, think about it, It comes alive to you. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him. The light dawned when they began to remember the prophecies. This is the way it works. The light comes in the darkness, and the darkness is dispelled. And they had done these things of him. There's a line there. I want you to think about, how does the light affect your life? How does your light affect other people's life? Light reveals the way to proceed. Because the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Jesus is the sunrise. He visited us. Are we ever going to forget that the darkness of despair was broken when he appeared? Then the darkness of despair can be broken today when his word appears, because he and his word are one. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Where is peace? Peace is where God is. Well, Pastor, I'm just so confused. Let the word in, it'll break the confusion. Pastor, I'm so hurt. Let the word in, it'll break the hurt. Pastor, I'm so fearful. Let the word in, it'll break the fear. Psalms 18:28, for you light my lamp. For you light my lamp. For you light my lamp. What does that mean? You turn the light on inside me. And the Lord, through his word, illuminates my darkness. And I go, wait a minute, that sickness is a lie. That debt is a lie. That fear is a lie. That worry is a lie. Because the light shines and the lie is revealed. You were formerly darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Before I received the anointed Redeemer as my personal Savior, I was a part of the darkness. I was enjoying the darkness. I was spreading the darkness. I was reveling in the darkness. But now that I've come to light, I need to spread the light. I need to revel in the light. I need to rejoice in the light. I need to share the light. For you were formerly darkness, but now, having received the anointed Redeemer, you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The word will never do you wrong. The word will always show you the way. Truth brings light and dispels the darkness. 1 Thessalonians, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night of the darkness. Pastor, what does that mean? Hopelessness don't belong to me. Grief and sorrow don't belong to me. The bondage and weight of debt and despair don't belong to me. Because in him the word is life. And in the word is the life that is the light of all mankind. I can turn the light on to sickness and dispel it. I can turn the light on to fear and dispel it. God is light. Yeshua is light. We filled with the truth become his lights in the darkness. Let your light, it is written, so shine before men. Well, Pastor, why say your light? Because when Ethel lays hold of with his stripes I was healed, and it becomes her truth, now she can share it with others. As long as it's a verse from God, well, God said. There's no faith in that. I said, with his stripes we were made whole. Now there's strength there. Because it's not somebody nebulous. It's me shining into your life. From the beginning of time, we can see the work of light overcoming darkness. Darkness came from a fall in heaven and a fall in the earth. Light is the presence of the Lord himself. and He is present in His Word every time you speak it. You are the light of the world. Speak light into every area of darkness you encounter. Don't let that darkness remain. Pastor, I'm just so hurt. Well, why are you holding on to the darkness? Pastor, I'm just so discouraged. Why are you holding on to the darkness? Pastor, I'm just so sick. Why are you holding on to the darkness? When light is available, all you got to do is choose. He said, I said before you, life and death, you choose. I can pick, it is written, with His stripes I was healed, or I can pick, I'm sick and dying. I can pick, He supplies all my need, or there ain't no way I can get ahead. When I began to decree, years and years ago, my God supplies all of my need according to the living standard of heaven. When I began to decree, my God is exceeding abundant above and beyond all I can ask or comprehend, the darkness of death began to fall away from our life. I want you to understand something. I'm not bragging. I'm telling you. Brother Bob said it one day and it blessed me. Pastor's going there. We can too. The sheep get to go where the shepherd went. We, for a number of years, talked about wanting a new house. So for some 3 years, we looked for houses. And one day I decided to stop looking and possess a house. Amen. I told Lou, I'm tired of looking, we're moving. Immediately, we found a house. They were asking $500,000. My wife wanted a $2.5 million house, but I'm cheap right now. They were asking $500,000. I told Lou, I said, we're going to buy it. She said, but we haven't sold our house. I said, it doesn't matter. God will take care of it. Money began to come in once we made the decision. I said, money began to come in once we made the decision. So when we signed the papers to buy the house, we went to the bank. And I sat down and I told the banker, I'm opening an account to just warehouse money for a while because I plan on paying the new house off in 2 years. How much money did I have? I had enough to open an account. But by the time the first payment came in, there was $8,000 in that account. Because I said, we're going to start moving all the excess money that comes in. All the money that comes in above our normal operation, we're going to move it over to that account. And so in a month, we had $8,000 in there. And I'm paying my new house off in 2 years. Amen. Well, Pastor, now you're bragging. No, 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 I'm telling you. If you want something in your life, you have to make a place for it. Yes. So we made a place for it. I went down to the bank. I said, I'm opening an account. This is not a regular account. This is a pay off the house account. And we don't write checks out of it. We just make deposits into it. And we started making deposits. And I'm going to keep making deposits. And it's going to keep coming in because once you make a place for it, it comes in. But as long as you're sitting wishing, we sat and wished and thought about and talked about for 3 years and nothing happened. But God says, what's in your hand? Start with what you got, not what you don't got. Well, I ain't got nothing. You got the Word. Let that light shine into the darkness of I don't have. God gave you a way to prosper, it is written. God gave you a way to live above sickness, it is written. God gave you a way to live free from doubt and worry and unbelief, it is written. It is the light that illuminates what is scaring you in the darkness. And when you turn the light on, it has to go away. Because the works of darkness can't stay in the light. Surround yourself with the Word. Speak the Word when you rise up. Speak the Word when you lie down. Speak the Word into every darkness that knocks at your door. And then speak the light into the darkness of the lives of people around you. But they'll think I'm crazy. People have been thinking that about me my whole life, especially since I became a believer. Because I learned real early, so you whipped me. You're going to have to do it every day until I win. Why? Because I don't like losing. So you beat me. We're going to play this game again until I win. Why? Because the more I expose myself to a thing with the thought of the thing as less than me, the stronger I become. But the more I expose myself to a thing thinking it's greater than me, the smaller I become. Don't let the lie rule you. Don't let the darkness defeat you. Don't let the fear overcome you. Determine, I win. I've been told I'd never talk again. But I didn't let it rule me. I was told I would never walk again, but I didn't let it rule me. I was told there's no way I could live, but I'll live and not die. But Pastor, you don't have everything manifest yet. Key word, yet. I don't quit until I win. I said I don't quit till I win. What do you say? I don't quit till I win. Why? Win lives in me. I have it as written. That is the answer. When Brother Ken led you in that confession today, I trust it took root within you. This is my covenant with God. The New Testament. Not the Bible. The New Testament is my covenant. It tells me what belongs to me. Darkness can't convince me it doesn't. It may present itself, but I'm going to give it an eviction notice. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Get out of my head. I have the light, and the light always wins. Daddy God, we've shared your word with your people today. They have received your word, and your word is coming alive within them. This people will never be the same because their heart is turned to truth, and the truth promotes them to the right hand of God. They rule and reign in life as kings and priests unto you, because nothing shall be impossible for them that believe. And the people said, amen. I call you the blessed of the Lord. I decree that the goodness of the Lord is overtaking you, that you win in every situation of life, and nothing shall stand in the way of your triumph. Amen. Go with God. Minister, 6 o'clock tonight.